Today we'd like to see the book of the Second Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 12 to 22, under the title of Prayers Answered. For online worried people, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Where is this place? Question 2. In verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What conditions do you need in order that God will forgive your sin and heal your land? Last question 3 in verse 19. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, how did Solomon do during his life? First of all, we see the brief background. In the last time, the Israelites took both the Feast of Temple Dedication. Dedication means set apart the temple as a place to worship God, and the Feast of Tabernacles, and it took 15 days since the temple dedication from the 7th month, 8th day through the 7th month, 15th day, when the Feast of Tabernacles began and ended on the 7th month, 23rd day. In the New Testament time, our bodies are God's temple. In light over the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, you are the temple of the living God. Then the last verse, the 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11, this Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house or palace, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. Months, maybe years had passed since Solomon's prayer in chapter 6. God answered Solomon's prayer at his time, issue by issue. Verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. So here is God's answer of Solomon's prayer. The Second Chronicle chapter 6 verse 20, Solomon prays as, your eyes may be open toward this temple day and night, toward the place where you said you would put your name, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. Then next question, where is this place? This place is the Mount of Moriah. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 8. Then God said to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Then Isaac asked to Abraham, Daddy, where is the sacrifice animal? Then, verse 8, Abraham said to Isaac, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. So God provided for himself the Lord Jesus Christ as the lamb. So Job chapter 9, verse 2, 8 to 10, 32, 33, Job responds to his friend Bildad's accusation to Job. Job's a lot of bad happening. He lost his family members, his children, also his possession, caused by Job's hidden sin. So then Bildad. Then Job answered, verse 2, chapter 9, Truly I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? Which meaning, no man is righteous on the earth. Verse 8, He alone, God alone, spreads out the heavens and treads on the wave of the sea. God alone created the heavens and sea. He made the bare Orion and Pleiades, that is all stars, and the chambers of the stars. So God created stars. Verse 10, He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. So God is so great, there is a big gap between man and God. Then verse 32, For God is not a man as I am, that I may answer God, and that we should go to court together, nor is there any mediator. That's a New King James Version. A King James Version says, there is a man between us. Between us meaning between man and God. Who may lay his hand on us both between man and God. Then the Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator between man and God. Because Jesus Christ, the Father, God the Father. So Son of God the Father is God too. Jesus' mother, Virgin Mary, man. So, the man, mother's son, is man. So, Jesus mediated between God and man. The 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Also, Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So God, that God, never be existence with God and forever, but became a man. But made himself of no reputation, take the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of a man. So that's why the man can touch it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, Seeing then that we have a great high priest between man and God, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Also, the 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, John the Apostle, he was trained by the Lord Jesus Christ during Jesus' life. Also, he touched Jesus Christ here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we meaning apostles, have heard Jesus Christ teaching, which we have seen. Apostles saw Jesus Christ with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, or our hands have touched concerning the word of life. So Jesus Christ became the mediator between man and God. So verse 13, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or I commanded the locusts to devour the land. Here, locusts obey God's commandments. Locusts, creatures, God created. Or I sent pestilence among my people. That's Solomon's prayer, the Second Chronicles chapter 6, verse 26. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you. When they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin, because you afflicted them. Then this is no rain coming from chapter 6, verse 26. 28. When there is a famine in the land here, pestilence, or blight, or mildew, white collar fungus, locusts, or grasshoppers, when their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is. That's God's answer. Verse 30, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and forgive and give it to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know. For you alone know the hearts of the sons of man. That's why sometimes we don't know our heart. We should ask the Lord, Lord, examine my heart. Lord, let me know my heart. You know, that kind of prayer is needed sometimes. Verse 14, if my people who are called by my name, this is God said, my God answered to Solomon, if my people who are called by my name, God's name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Here, question two, four conditions. Number one, humble by confessing sin, or humble by admitting sin. Number two, pray for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Third condition, seek my face, meaning seek God's heart. Seek God's heart, or seek God's word. The last one, turn from the wicked way. Turn from wicked or sinful ways. No more sin who sinner committed. So no more sin. Then God will hear and forgive sin and heal land. Verse 15, now my eyes will be open, God's eye will be open, and my ears attentive or attend to prayer made in this place, the Mount of Moriah, where the temple of Solomon's house was located at that time. Here, Solomon's prayer, the Second Chronicles chapter 6, verse 14, that's God's answer. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to prayer made in this place. Then God answered, verse 15. Verse 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually or forever. Yeah, God promised his eyes, his heart perpetually on this place. God made a promise. God is faithful, which means God keeps his promise. Verse 17, as for you, as for Solomon, if you walk before me as your father David walked and do according to all God doesn't want, you know, skipping God's word or adding to God's word here, to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statute. My statute is meaning written law, so subject to the word of God, and my judgment, judgment is a case law, so subject to the word of God. So simply, if you keep my word, then, verse 18, then I will establish it. If you fulfill the condition, God will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I covenant with David, your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. That is the 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, so called as Davidic covenant between David and God. Here, and your house, God said to David, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever or perpetually. Before you, your throne shall be established forever. So basically, if you work before me, if you keep my word, God, you know, also Solomon's throne, you know, will be established forever too. Here, verse 19, I'd like to make one more appointment. God also made this kind of promise to the people of Israel as well. Simply, if you obey my word, you will be blessed. Otherwise, you will be cursed. Then Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you, you meaning Israelite, the people of Israel, overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Here, the opposite warning, verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 28. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statute, commandments, God's orders, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So simple word, if obey my word, you will be blessed, not necessarily material, otherwise you will be cursed. Then verse 19, here is a warning. If you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, like God told through Moses to Israel people, if you disobey the voice of God, you will be cursed like that. If you turn away, forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them. The answer is Solomon did so. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16 and 17. God commanded through Moses for the kings of Israel to be here. But king shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. So in order to get more horses, king goes to Egypt. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Third one, nor shall he gradually multiply silver and gold for himself. But simply, God told to kings of Israel through Moses, nor multiply horses, number one. Number two, nor multiply wives. Number three, no multiply silver and gold. So that is God's commandment to the kings. Number one, don't multiply horses. Solomon violated 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 26 to 28. And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen. he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he stationed in chariot cities and with the king at Jerusalem. The king made silver as common in Jerusalem as stones, and he made cedar trees as abundant as the sycamores which are in the lowland. Also, Solomon had horses imported from Egypt. And Kever, the king's merchant, bought them in Kever at the current price. So basically, Solomon made a lot of chariots or wagon, 1,400 chariots. So chariots need horses. So Solomon imported horses from Egypt. God specifically do not return to Egypt to multiply horses for yourself. So Solomon violated here. Also, number two, don't multiply wives. The first king, chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, Solomon violated this God's commandment as well. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his heart, God, as was the heart of his father David. So basically, you know, old Solomon was trapped by his wives who worshipped idols, and Solomon's joined there too. So last one, don't multiply silver and gold. So Solomon wrote the last book, Ecclesiastes. Solomon, the early age, he wrote the book of Proverbs. So most part, you know, some part of David or Moses and other writers, but the most part of Proverbs were written by Solomon. The second is Songs of Solomon, the last book, you know, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 8, Solomon said, I also gathered for myself silver and gold. He admitted for himself, he gathered, he multiplied silver and gold. So, and the special treasuries of the kings of the provinces, I acquired male and female singers, the delight of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. Then we'll see. Then verse 20, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Which meaning, God will destroy the house of God, the temple of Solomon, and will make it a proverb and byword among all people. So, but God is merciful. Joel chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is man's all, that's all for man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which meaning all unrighteousness, including unknown sin, yeah. Unknown sin. So that's why if you commit a known sin, so you should repent, confess your sin, then is ask for God's forgiveness, you know, then is God will, you know, forgive you, you know, then heal you. So he'll land as well. Verse 21, and as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passed by it will be astonished and say, astonished meaning frightened, because the house of temple was destroyed completely. Why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they, the people of Israel, forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, Exodus, and embraced the other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore, God has brought all this calamity on them. So, God is merciful. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, you know, verse 13 and 14, there is Solomon king that said, so God is a merciful. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. So rend your heart and not your garments, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. So God is slow to anger. God is so patient. So God tolerates, but not, you know, forever. So God is merciful. So God did not destroy the kingdom that, you know, Solomon reigned, because God is merciful. Also, we can see Solomon's repentance, because at the last verses of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, 13, and 14, Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. So Solomon, before his death, he said, conclusion of the whole matter, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. So good thing, God make a judgment to reward for good thing. The bad thing, evil thing, God make a judgment to punish, you know, the evil thing. So because of the last two verses of the last book, Ecclesiastes, we presume that Solomon repented his sin. So, but after Solomon's death, Israel was divided. Northern kingdom, Israel, conquered by Assyrian, but southern Judah went continually through invasion of Babylon. Three times invasion. First time is Babylon invaded in southern Judah. They took our treasures over the temple over Solomon. But second time, the Israelites continually worshiped the idols, you know, Mammon or Ashtoreth, Baal, you know, Balak, you know, many kinds of the idols. That time is the Babylon took over and destroyed, you know, the city. But the last time, the Babylon completely conquered the Judah, completely destroyed the house of God, which was built by, you know, Solomon. So that's why, you know, today we don't know for sure where the house of God built by Solomon. So somebody said, you know, today is a Muslim, you know, temple probably there. Somebody said a little, you know, north side there, but we are not sure exactly. The last word, God is a patient, tolerate today United States society so corrupted by materialism, even local churches, spiritual cocoons or spiritual clubs, rather than pure churches like the early church in the book of Acts. It seems a giant to their society, it seems a giant. We are cowered into do-nothingness, through prayer with boldness in faith, we may begin to bombard the strongholds of darkness. Then we may see Lord the triumpher of the Spirit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, that's why we need, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This communion service, you know, Paul said, you know, examine yourself, you know, first, then you will not be judged by others. Also 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, you know, as well, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. So do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Galatians chapter 6 verses 7 and 8, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. So, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So basically said, you know, we should will sow the Spirit thing. Then we will, you know, we will reap the Spirit thing. But if we will sow flesh thing, you will reap, you know, flesh thing. Flesh in any way withers, you know, someday, but the Spirit thing is forever, everlasting. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Here, church in Smyrna, like today, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Today is like, you know, a lot of giant, you know, so many materialism corrupted almost everywhere, you know, so, but do not fear. Indeed, the devil, but beyond a lot of materialism, humanism, so the devils are there. So indeed, truly, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. We know that before Millennium Kingdom, the devils come into bottomless pit, but at the end of Millennium Kingdom, the old devil, you know, Satan, you know, follows of devils and come into the Gehenna, lake of, you know, fire, you know, get there. There you may be tested, and you will have a tribulation 10 days. Be faithful. So Jesus said, be faithful until death. And I will give you the crown of life. That's a crown of life, but that's a spiritual success, not material success. The crown of life, incorruptible prize. Okay, let's see each question. In verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Where is this place? The answer is the Mount of Moriah. Question 2, in verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What conditions do you need in order that God will forgive your sin and heal your land? Number 1, humble yourselves by confessing your sin. Number 2, pray for forgiveness. Number 3, seek God's heart and God's will and God's word. The last one, turn from their wicked way. Turn from your sinful ways. That's the 4 condition. Then God will hear from heaven, forgive your sin, heal your land. The last question in verse 19, but if you turn away and forsake my statute and my commandments which I have set before you and go and serve other gods and worship them, how did Solomon do during his life? The answer is Solomon did so. You know, Solomon turned away, forsook God's statutes, God's commandments. So we show is don't multiply horses, return to Egypt. as Solomon violated. Number two, don't multiply wives for himself, as Solomon violated that one too. The last one is don't multiply silver and gold, as Solomon violated too. So that's the answer. Let's sing song all together, our last song, page 8, number 3.